it's an unusual thing for a friend of three decades to also be a role model. But John McCain is a role model to me in public service, one of very few I could identify. He says just what he believes. He does just what he says he'll do. And thereby has built a credibility and I think a unique position of public trust in our country. And I'm just glad for any of the rare chances I have anymore to see him. And I'm glad that his travels brought him through Indiana and he dropped by Indianapolis to inspect our work. Welcome to Indiana.
Thank you, Governor. And I was South Bend earlier this morning and campaigning for Chris Jacola, who is in a very close race, as we know. He had a great turnout, 375 people at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then I seized the opportunity to come and visit with my old friend of 30 years, Governor Mitch Daniels. Governor and I got to know each other when I was working in the United States Senate, and he was serving as a key staffer for Senator Richard Lugar, a person that we hold in the greatest respect and appreciation. There is no voice on national security policy in America and in the world than that of Senator Richard Lugar. So as Mitch learned at the knee of a great American, so I continue to learn every day serving with Senator Lugar in the United States Senate. I also appreciate the strong leadership that Governor Daniels has displayed. I believe that he's made some very tough decisions. I also appreciate the fact that for the first time in many years, there's a balanced budget. There has been addressing of the transportation needs in the state of Indiana and other significant improvements. So he got good training at the office as the director of the Office of Management and Budget, and I think that continues to serve him in good stead. And it's always a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to spend a little time with him. And may I just finally say that this is a magnificent room and a magnificent building. It was pointed out to me it was built for a little less than $2 million. Sure. I'd be curious what it would cost today. So we'd be glad to answer any questions or comments that you have.
Senator, Mr. Al-Maliki this morning asked for and got the checkpoints dismantled around Baghdad. How well is he suited to bring Iraq out of the current violence and bring some peace there?
I was disappointed that Prime Minister Maliki ordered the release of a person who was a key lieutenant of al-Sadr's who had been captured by Americans. One of the fundamental aspects of bringing the sectarian violence under control in Baghdad is to take out al-Sadr. There's been an arrest warrant out for him for a number of years, and take out the Mahdi army. You've got to neutralize that organization and cut off that leadership if you're going to bring about an end to the violence. And the sooner Prime Minister Maliki understands that, the better off we're going to be. Now, other things have to happen, but a lot of this is caused by the Mahdi army under the direction and control of al-Sadr.
The general perception is that he's beholden to the Shiite militias. Is he the right man to actually get the job done, or can, and if not, how does someone else get into that position?
Well, he has been elected and selected by a democratic process. I believe that he needs to prove himself, but I don't believe that I would call for his resignation or replacement, but he has to perform. I mean, they are a government. The first obligation of government is to ensure the security of its citizens. And this present government is not succeeding in attaining that goal, and they must.
Governor, you had some very complimentary things to say about the senator. Are you backing his run for the presidency in a way?
Well, I think that all things in their time, and I don't think the senator's soliciting endorsements right now. But I'll just tell you, the Republican Party could not do better. I hope he runs.
I've not made the decision, as you know. Maybe I should bring up the issue of Senator Kerry's unfortunate remarks that he made. And I believe that Senator Kerry owes an apology to the many thousands of Americans serving in Iraq who answered their country's call, because they are patriots and not because of any deficiencies in their education. Americans from all backgrounds, well-off and poor, serve in the armed forces of the United States because they are dedicated to the cause of freedom and democracy. They deserve our respect and deepest gratitude for their service. The suggestion that only the least educated Americans would agree to serve in the military and fight in Iraq is an insult to every soldier serving in combat today. And they should be, and this should offend the American people as well. Senator Kerry owes an apology to those Americans, and he should be grateful that we have people who are risking their lives today in the defense of the freedom of the rest of our fellow Americans.
How did you become aware of his comments? And do you think it was
sort of the tone? Well, I was made aware because it immediately hit all the wires and all the news services, and I was called about it, obviously, by the press as to my reaction. I would think that if Senator Kerry would apologize, that we can move on. Everybody, including me, has made misstatements or things we didn't mean from time to time. I think an apology is in order, and then I think we can move on.
Senator, could you tell us why you chose to campaign for Representative Chakola, and are there any other candidates you'd be campaigning for?
I've been campaigning all over the country. I have taken a special liking to Chris Chakola. I believe he represents the next generation of Republican leadership, not just here in Indiana, but in the Congress and in America. He and I may have a disagreement on a specific issue, but the fact is he has shown enormous promise and talent, and I know he's, and also, a little straight talk, we know he's in a very tough race, and if I could help him in any way, I certainly want to do that.
Senator, the American people expect from Congress to exercise their constitutional role as an independent branch of government, a check and balance really on the executive. To what extent has this Republican Congress played that role, and how are we turning them to the majority to advance that interest in going forward?
I think that we have played a very constructive role. I think that we have certainly kept a very careful eye on the situation in Iraq. I think we in Congress should have somebody keep an eye on our spending, and so I'm not proud of that. But I'm pleased at the overall results of our work. We have a strong economy, we have low inflation, we have low unemployment, we have lower taxes. Opportunities for Americans, I think, are greater than they were 6 years ago. I think America is safer than it was and at the time of 9/11. I don't think we're safe, but we have not had another attack on the United States of America, and I think we're safer. So I think we've consistently supported the men and women who serve in our military, so I think that we have a message, and I understand the difficulty of getting that message through when we have the war in Iraq, we have these scandals that go on, and we have part of our base is upset about our spending practices. So I understand that. So our message is, we think we've done a good job, we know we've got to do a better job, and we hope that you'll return outstanding people like Chris Chakola and others to the Congress of the United States.
Just one follow-up, please, sir. Could you give an example where congressional oversight in Iraq has actually changed an administration policy or improved it?
Training of the Iraqi army. There was a period of time where the Pentagon was saying that they had trained a very large number of Iraqis in the Iraqi army. We brought to light very clearly that they were not trained and they were not equipped, and they started all over from the beginning. And because of us, they installed a system of grading the degree of and level of readiness on the part of the, what the individual Iraqi units were capable of doing, much like the United States military. I could give you several other examples as well. Thank you.
Senator, does the fact that the President, the First Lady, and now Tony Snow basically rented a room in the 9th Congressional District in Indiana, stopping by a campaign, I mean, what does that tell you when they're fighting that hard, you know, in a place, you know, this is still Indiana, they haven't voted for a Democratic president since 65. So the President's going to Georgia, all places where Republicans should be having a problem. What does that tell you?
Well, I think it's probably good for the economy. A lot of money is spent by the advanced teams and, you know, all the entourages. There's a bit of a traffic tie-up, but I don't know the political calculations within the White House. But, for example, I know that it is the belief amongst our political operatives that we have a chance of actually picking up a couple of seats in the state of Georgia, that they're in play. So I can understand why the President would go to Georgia, and why they're going to the places, other places that they're going. I have not been involved in that process.
Are you campaigning for any other Indiana
congressional candidates? No, I am not. It's just one of the reasons, by the way, I'm is because Congressman Cocciola asked me to come, and I don't think we received requests from anyone else.
Senator.
Sir.
Your colleague, Senator Obama, was here in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago campaigning for Congressman Chicola's opponent, as well as for some other Democratic congressional candidates. How would you handicap Senator Obama's prospects for the nomination of the other?
It's hard for me to know how the process works in the other party, but there is no doubt that Senator Obama is a very attractive, articulate, and very popular figure in America today. I work with him all the time. I find him the same way. We have different political philosophy, but the fact is that he's quite a remarkable person, and I think will continue to make a significant impact on the American political scene, whether he runs for president or not.
What's your working relationship been with Senator Bayh?
Excellent. I've had an excellent working relationship with Senator Bayh. We've worked on the issue of national service together, and I found him to be a very fine senator to work with, who is sincere and works very hard at his job.
You said you haven't decided your own plans for OA. When do you expect to make a decision?
Early next year.
Do you think over Dancer to a good vice presidential candidate?
Absolutely. You know, I haven't made the decision about running for president, but I think there's very few people in America with a broad breadth of experience that the governor has, both in Washington. He knows all the ins and outs of the process there. He knows the Congress, and also he's been a governor of this great American heartland state.
Well, we've got before the election, do you have any thoughts on the campaign finance reform
The only comment that I have is I think the good news is that there's literally hundreds of thousands of small contributors, which we think is good for the political process. The bad news is that the Federal Elections Commission is corrupt and will not enforce existing 1974 law, which should clearly outlaw these so-called 527s. The 527s are having a pernicious effect on many of these campaigns. They are against the law, and the Federal Election Commission will not act, and that is disgraceful. I thank you all for coming.
Thank you
very much.